Jeremiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 5, a very short chapter. God speaks to Barak. Now this chapter is out of order, as I explained, I think, at the beginning when we started going through Jeremiah. Jeremiah does not appear in chronological order. This chapter does not belong with the events we've just been looking at, with the fall of Jerusalem, the remnant going into Egypt, and all the rest. This goes back 18 years before, to Jeremiah chapter 36. This chapter really belongs, in a sense, there, that's where the history is, belongs really with Jehoiakim burning the scroll. You remember that Jeremiah had been restricted, confined, and he couldn't go to the temple, so he wrote the word that the Lord gave him on a scroll, and Barak took it to the temple and read it. You remember it was taken to the king, and the king in his anger destroyed it, burning it in the fire there. Well, this is the word of the Lord to Barak at that time. This is what Jeremiah the prophet told Barak, son of Neriah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, after Barak had written on a scroll the words Jeremiah was then dictating. This is what the Lord, it's not just Jeremiah's word, it's God's word. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you, Barak. You said, "Woe to me, the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest." Clearly, Jeremiah is under attack, but so is Barak. You'll meet this in chapter 36, verse 26. And it went on. You'll find it again in chapter 43, verse 3, in the events we've just been looking at. Jeremiah had been in spiritual trouble and anguish himself, chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, and chapter 15, verses 10 to 18. These men are men of God, but they're men, and they suffer for their stance for God. As I say, Jeremiah had known it, chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, chapter 15, verses 10 to 18. And Barak, too, then, is coming under attack. And what is Jeremiah doing here? What is God using Jeremiah to do? He's comforting Barak. "Woe to me," you said, Barak. "The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest." Here is the burden of these men. Here is the weight that they carry. The smooth, easy, popular prophets, of course, have a lovely job, don't they? As far as man is concerned, oh, they're welcome, they're fated upon, they're given kudos, and they're elevated. But these true men of God, giving the word of God, confronting the people with their paganism, their worldliness, their ungodliness, and bringing them back, or attempting to bring them back, to the covenant and to the law, they pay a heavy price. Now, Jeremiah had known comfort from God. And Jeremiah is used of God to bring comfort to Barak. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, that remarkable little paragraph. "We suffer, God gives us comfort." Why? So that when fellow believers suffer, we can bring them comfort. We mutually help each other. We get sorrow and comforts between us, and we mutually encourage each other in our troubles and trials, in our stance for God. Barak felt worn out. He's groaning. He finds no rest. His mind is not at all easy. Perhaps he can't sleep and so on. "Woe to me. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain." So what does Jeremiah say? Well, the Lord said, verse 4, this is really what he's bringing. I know that's added there, but this is what the truth is. "Say this to him. This is what the Lord says. I will overthrow what I have built and uproot what I have planted throughout the land. Should you then seek great things for yourself, seek them not, for I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord, but wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life." 4 points here. 1, the comfort for Barak. God speaking to him. The comfort for us, brother and sister, if we stand for God against tide and wind at this time. If we stand for God and the troubles we have to endure, here is the comfort. One, God is sovereign. Verse 4. This is what the Lord said. I will. I have built. I will uproot. I have planted. I will destroy. And so I. The sovereignty of God. This is not just an academic point. This is not something to argue about. When I was a young believer, I could argue over the sovereignty of God. But it's something to live by, and it's something to die by. That's the truth. God is sovereign. 2. Stop thinking about yourself, Barak. Stop thinking about your reputation. This is a challenge to us, my brother and sister. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. Well, the Master praises. What are men? What are men? What are men? You remember that David, when Absalom rebelled, and people of Judah and Israel brought him back as king, 2 Samuel chapter 19. Remember, Judah and Israel quarreled over who was the greatest. Remember, the disciples did this with Jesus. You know, which of us is the greatest? Stop thinking about yourself. Remember what Paul says in the Corinthian letters. And he says, I don't weigh myself. I don't weigh my actions in this sense. I leave that to God. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me right. No, I trust God to look after my reputation. Stop trying to seek great things for yourself. Should you then seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. God is sovereign. Stop thinking of yourself and your reputation. Politicians usually are thinking most about what they will leave behind as a footnote in history, their reputation. God deliver us, brother and sister, from that. Thirdly, God is sovereign. Stop thinking about yourself. Thirdly, get your priorities right. We're in a time of disaster for Judah. We're in a time of disaster for Jerusalem and the temple. Don't think about yourself. Don't worry about your small events. Think about the troubles coming upon the people of God. And what a word for us today. God is sovereign. It's not our reputation. It's God's name. And think about the priorities. Look at the state of the churches. Look at the disaster with a poor and feeble and muted and dumbed down gospel. Look at the consequences for unbelievers. God is sovereign. Stop thinking of yourself. Get your priorities right. And the fourth, the promise of protection. I will bring disaster on all people, declares the Lord, but wherever you go, I will let you escape with your life. I will look after you. We are hidden in the hollow of God's hands. Underneath are the everlasting arms. God will protect us. This is what Jeremiah is saying to Barak, because God is saying it. God is sovereign. Stop thinking of yourself. Get your priorities right and trust God for his protection. What an application now. I'm trying to apply it. May I receive it and take it home with me and into my heart and into my life and into my mind. The Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am worn out with groaning and find no rest. May I find rest here in God's sovereignty, thinking about him and not me, getting my priorities right and trusting God's protection. Now, this was given to Barak before the deluge. And what God is saying to Barak is, remember this, act upon it, and live it out. And he's saying that to me. And he's saying that to you, brother and sister. God is speaking to Barak. He's speaking to me. And he's speaking to you. And may we hear him and heed him and act upon it and live upon it. For Christ's sake. Amen.